Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Desafira Pharmaceuticals, we had the pleasure of speaking with Jonathan C. Trent, MD, PhD, about potential clinical applications for minimal residual disease and gastrointestinal stromal tumor and upcoming trials and targets in the field. Trent is a professor and associate director for clinical research at the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, part of the University of Miami Health System in Florida. In part one of our exclusive two-part interview, Dr. Trent discussed the current role and significance of using MRD in GIST, current guidelines around mutation testing, and research seeking to expand the targeted therapy armamentarium. Thank you so much, Dr. Trent, for joining us on an episode of Onc Live On Air to discuss the role of MRD in GIST and upcoming trials and targets in the field. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Happy to have you with us. Could you define the current scope and significance of MRD in GIST?
Yeah, definitely. It's certainly an emerging area. Well, first of all, GIST or gastrointestinal stromal tumor is the most common sarcoma of the GI tract, maybe the most common sarcoma. There's an estimated 4,000 to 5,000 new patients diagnosed each year, and it's really emerged as a molecularly driven disease. We used to think of GIST as one type of cancer, and then we discovered that there was KIT mutation as a driver. And since that time, we've also discovered additional driver mutations in GIST, such as PDGF receptor alpha, RAF, NTRK, NF1, loss of SDH, and several others, actually. And with this understanding of the molecular drivers of GIST has also come an understanding of the optimal therapy. For instance, a patient that has an NTRK or RAF-driven GIST is not going to benefit from a KIT inhibitor. So we really have to imperatively perform mutation testing upfront in any GIST patient who's going to receive systemic therapy. And that goes for primary tumors, as well as therapy in the adjuvant setting, in the metastatic setting as well. Now, interestingly, we looked at the SEER Medicare database a few years ago and found that only about 30% of patients with metastatic or localized GIST were undergoing any type of mutation testing. So it's really being underperformed in the United States. This is United States data, and we're not testing GIST patients. This means that 70% of GIST patients are being treated blindly with KIT inhibitors or other therapy without knowing the molecular target that that GIST has. In order to raise awareness and also to better understand resistance, we have at our institution increase the utilization of circulating tumor DNA as a biomarker. And in our initial studies, we found the detection rate is actually very low in primary tumors. It's also very low in patients who have low volume disease, around 16% detection rate. However, if you look at all patients in our data set, as well as from several clinical trials, about 60 to 75% of GIST patients with metastatic GIST will have circulating tumor DNA detected. However, if you look at the patients that have metastatic disease, progressive tumors, and large volume, greater than 10 centimeter total volume of tumor, you find it in our study, a detection rate of 100%. So how to use ctDNA, we're gaining an understanding, and we wouldn't order it on a patient that has a 1 centimeter slow growing liver nodule in GIST because the detection rate is really close to zero. We reserve it for the higher volume patients. And what we've learned from that is that after progression on imatinib or other TKIs, there is a distinct pattern of resistance. And so resistance to imatinib when we test patients in our hands and also on a couple of the clinical trials, we have found that the resistance clusters in two regions of KIT exon 11, exon 13 and exon 17. Exon 13 is an ATP binding pocket, and exon 17 is an A loop. Either one of these mutations prevents imatinib from inhibiting the kinase and allows the kinase to become active again. Well, when we started looking at subsequent tyrosine kinase inhibitor activity, we found that sunitinib, regorafenib, ripretinib, and avapritinib, the other four FDA-approved agents, have a distinct pattern of activity against these resistance mutations. So if you consider a patient that has a KIT exon 11 with an exon 13 resistance mutation, we have found that sunitinib has the highest activity of all of these tyrosine kinase inhibitors, and the other ones are minimally active against KIT exon 13 mediated resistance. Conversely, if the patient's tumor has a KIT exon 17 resistance mutation, regorafenib, ripretinib, and even avapritinib have activity against the exon 17 resistance mutation called the A loop. But all of those have minimal activity against the exon 13 resistance mutation. And so this sets up a paradigm where, you know, perhaps we shouldn't be treating patients with metastatic GIST based on the line of therapy that the clinical trial was performed. Using the older paradigm, patients get imatinib when they progress, they get sunitinib when they progress, they get regorafenib. Perhaps the new paradigm, if a patient progresses on imatinib, the new paradigm would be at progression on imatinib, do the ctDNA testing. If the patient has exon 13 resistant mutation, treat them with sunitinib. If the patient has an exon 17 resistance mutation, treat them with either regorafenib or ripretinib. And so to test this hypothesis, there are several clinical trials that are ongoing. The first clinical trial is an investigator-initiated study here at Sylvester, where patients with progressive GIST undergo ctDNA testing prospectively, and if they have an exon 13 resistant mutation, they're assigned to sunitinib therapy. If they have exon 17 resistance mutation, then they're assigned to regorafenib therapy. We follow the patients over time, compare their outcome to historical control to prove whether or not prospective ctDNA therapy delivers the best patient care in terms of response rates and progression-free survival. An additional study is ongoing now comparing ripretinib to sunitinib. And in this study, patients with metastatic progressive GIST after imatinib therapy undergo circulating tumor DNA testing. And if they have exon 17 resistance mutation in the A loop, then they're eligible for the study. Once on the study, patients are randomized 2-to-1 to either ripretinib or sunitinib. The minor concern in this study is that why would you treat an exon 17 resistant patient with sunitinib? Well, select patients certainly could be eligible for that study that don't have highly aggressive, fast-growing tumors. And then also, we haven't really proven that ctDNA testing is effective at improving outcomes prospectively. Everything I've talked about today is from laboratory, is from retrospective analyses. And so this study called INSIGHT is really our first prospective study to answer one of these questions.
That's all we have for today. Tune in on August 17th to hear part two. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Desafira Pharmaceuticals. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live on Air.